Okay, so for this section, I wanted to talk about the fastest way out of suffering, the fastest way to be what you already are. And it never fails to astound me when we do these events how the whole theme of the event seems to dovetail into one particular thing, and that really comes from my idea of what I want to talk about in each intensive, each satsang. Everything comes from what's been happening that week with people that I've been speaking to in my own life. And it just amazingly dovetails into what everybody seems to need to hear, as always. And there's a wonderful beauty in that, and hopefully that will continue into this next session, this next segment. And I really wanted to look at the cause of suffering, the real root of suffering. And I've described it in many ways over the years, and it may seem like I'm describing it differently today, but it's exactly the same thing. I only really have one answer to everything. So the cause of suffering, if we can find out what that is, then we can begin to come out of it much quicker. We can begin to live from that place where we're already free and step outside of time and progress and change and becomingness. All that can just be happening in front of us, and we're just relaxing, enjoying the show and enjoying the fruits of our becomingness without having to feel that we're changing, we're becoming. And to do that, the root of suffering really needs to be examined. Why do we feel that we suffer at all along the pathway in life in general? What is it that causes us as human beings to suffer? What is it that makes me different from that tree, as we were saying earlier? You know, the tree isn't having an identity crisis, and it's certainly not becoming more of a tree. And my cat is very happy being a cat and isn't trying to be anything other than being a cat. So what is it as human beings that we're trying to do or get to that causes us to suffer? And really it's this inbuilt human drive inside us to feel good, to want to feel good. And even if we're feeling good, to want to feel better than that, and to keep on changing and progressing in how we're feeling. If I feel good for a moment, that's great, but then immediately the desire is going to be to stay that way. So what seems to bring us out of this? And it really is, if we look at what the core of our egoic structure or our noisy mind is made up of, what's it still talking about? Why is it still talking? It will be where we have these meanings, where we're drawing a conclusion from something that happens, and either out there or in here, we'll be going into a relationship with that. So if I am formless and being this, completely being this moment, and something arises inside my body, my mind, my emotions, my world, my experience, then there is nothing I can do to divide myself from that thing that's happening. If instead there are something happens and some thoughts are arising around it, then to think about it, I've automatically divided myself in my experiences. What's going on? And then, as we were talking about before, a trigger happens, something goes on in our outside world. Thoughts and feelings are produced inside. If I pick those thoughts up as, you know, affecting me, I'm a thinker, these are happening to me, and I'm going to feel divided, and that's going to cause me to feel bad. So it's never the trigger itself. It's not even the thoughts and the emotions that come up inside here about it. Neither of those can I do anything about at all. They may continue or they may not. But when those are just something that's happening in my experience, inside the greater self that I am, then it doesn't really make any difference if it's happening. And also I can't go into division around it. What do I mean by division? I can't feel separate to it, which means I can't feel it's happening to me. I can't feel these thoughts and emotions are coming up. You know, if these thoughts and emotions that are produced by this trigger are happening to a me, then they're going to be impacting me separate to me. So instead, there can be this external experience and these internal reactions that are just what is arising in this moment, no different to my body, no different to my world, no different to any other human being. And we don't have to go into relationship with it. We don't have to suffer from it. There's this enormously powerful spiritual myth that I really want to smash through in this session today that you've probably seen unfolding through the previous three sessions that we've had, that to be the Buddha consciously means that there will no longer be any identification with the body and the mind. I'll never ever fall asleep again, on that level at least. And hopefully you're starting to realize that that's not what it is. That's not the goal of all of this. The real goal, if there is one, is just to see that it doesn't make any difference if that's happening. Only if I go into relationship with it, to division, and I use that to assess how I'm doing. You know, there were these negative thoughts, there were these judgments, there were these emotions, there was this black cloud of anger, and I really went off on one for the best part of an hour, and that shouldn't have happened because I'm not supposed to be identifying with thoughts and all of that. Then I am separate from those thoughts and emotions, and that is what causes the suffering. The sense that I can be divided into two when I only ever am the one. I am this moment, and everything arising in this moment is also this moment. So that includes everything, the whole of creation, and the whole of future creation, everything that has been, and all the possibilities for anything that could be. It is everything I am appearing as. So as this moment, I won't be able to divide myself. What does that mean in actual experience each day, each moment, is that I won't be able to suffer. I won't be able to say that this means anything to me. So we're taking the position of the ocean, and the waves that may arise is, you know, identified wave or unidentified wave, peaceful, angry. Neither of them are any different. They're all part of the ocean. Or the sky just is, and a real black storm cloud arises. And then a really white, fluffy, one of those really wispy clouds that you see on a really hot day. And there's no difference between them to the sky. The sky doesn't care at all in a cold way, not in a cold way. But we're taking the position of the sky or the ocean itself. The ocean doesn't really see any waves. It doesn't see anything different than itself. As a human being, we can move through our experience. We can have things happen in our experience. We can have thoughts and emotions arise inside us about that experience, and it can just be what is. And it doesn't have to have any meaning for anybody at all. When I grasped this, it was really fundamental freedom, immediate freedom. Nothing means anything to me. And that is, it sounds like a very cold thing to say. Nothing means anything. But it's just a statement of my intent never to go into relationship, into duality, into division with anything. And if I go into division with it, so what? It doesn't mean anything. So right now, right here in this moment, if you decide that nothing that happens in your experience the rest of eternity, and nothing that happens inside your body the rest of eternity, however long this body lasts and all the other ones, that none of it means anything to you, as in it's not going to be used to define your progress. You know, it's not going to be assessed by your enlightenment meter, you know, inside. It's not going to be used as indication of your progress.
I'll have to put you down for some of the minute.
Okay, sorry about that. It's not going to be used, if we have a meaning about something in particular, it's not going to allow us to be peaceful. We're going to feel divided. Why? Because the more I think about something, the more I'm going to feel about it, And the more I'm going to find myself feeling divided, feeling separate to it. So if something happens in my experience, even that can't disturb me. And even if I have lots of thoughts and feelings about it, then that's not going to disturb me either, unless I pick up those up and say, yes, they mean they shouldn't be there, or they, you know, I shouldn't be having any reaction inside to this. So I'm hoping you're grasping the simplicity of how simple it can be to live this awakened state right now. You know, from your worst human experience to your best moment possible. Neither of those mean anything in particular to the self. It doesn't find anything better about appearing as a consciously awake being, as a totally identified human being. It doesn't see higher and lower. It doesn't see better or worse. And it certainly doesn't see wanted or not wanted, in that way at least. It's not going to decide that to have it show up this way is better. And it's certainly not going to say this shouldn't happen at all. In fact, there's the one thing that the self cannot do. It can never reject anything. It's completely accepting of what is. In this moment, it is the formless self, and it's appearing as all these forms, forms of ideas, thoughts, judgments, forms of emotions, sensations, energy, bodies, houses, the planet, everything, the universe. And it's not for a second saying, I'd like to show up this way and not this way. So can you practice this as you move throughout your experience? Nothing means anything to you in terms of, it's not going to define how awake I think I am, how far on the enlightenment scale I am. This myth has caused untold damage in the human psyche, that at some point there will be this point in my evolution where I stop, my attention no longer goes to thoughts if it pops up, and there's no longer any negative emotion. That experience is possible, but only from the place where you no longer have no meanings left at all. The way to get to that is not by rejecting how you are right now in this moment. What would your experience be if you couldn't reject anything ever again that showed up for you out there, in here, anywhere? It's not the same as accepting, as condoning and agreeing with, or even liking. Acceptance is just a statement of reality. This is what is. And I'm not going to say it shouldn't be here, because it is. Right now it's here. So applying that to our progress, your progress will stop when you have no more meanings. You will step outside of time and evolution, and you'll just be being yourself. You won't have any idea what that's going to look like in the next moment, and you won't have any idea of how it's supposed to look in the next moment. And that is amazingly liberating right now. What if you just gave yourself permission to be as you are from now until forever, and you can no longer say, I shouldn't be this way, or they shouldn't be that way, or I should be this way? That's the most powerful place to plant yourself, because then everything is going to begin to change in your experience, but not by you making it happen, not by you pushing against it, not by you dividing yourself in your experience, not by trying to get somewhere. You'll just be absolutely already home already. And you will be arising as however you're arising. You know, to the Buddha, there is no difference between a completely crazy mind and a completely still one. To Krishna, there is no difference between bliss and fear. There just isn't any meaning to either of them. They're just both what's appearing. And you notice with those attitudes towards our life, our experience, our humanity, our awakening, especially our awakening, nothing means anything to your awakening. Nothing that happens to you externally or internally is going to tell me that you're more the self than you are in this moment. I don't care if you come and say, like, I haven't had a single thought for a whole year and I've just been in absolute bliss. It's very nice, but it doesn't change anything. If you say, I was in torment for an entire week and I was just in such pain, I say, I'm really sorry that happened, but it doesn't change who you are or what you are. It doesn't mean anything. What if nothing at all ever could define and cause you to think that you've slid backwards? What if absolutely now you are absolutely as you are and have always been and not going to change ever? Then what would be the impetus then to move about your daily life? What would be the motivation to enjoy your experience? Well, probably it would fall away that you were trying to get anything out of this at all. Even trying to get anything out of this intensive at all would stop. And there would just be this curiosity about how you can appear and what deepening seeing you can have. And even if you don't have any deepening seeing, it doesn't mean anything. And I know maybe I'm making it sound too simple, but you know, everyone wants to know how the Buddha got to be the Buddha, and no one's willing to accept it. And I hope you are willing to accept this is how it's done, very, very simply. Notice where you're having meanings, which means you're in division with something, and then see if you can recognize those meanings aren't really true. We only really have one thing that we absolutely want anyway at this point, and that is to wake up, to be free. What if that was already how it is and you just hadn't noticed because you were so busy trying to get somewhere? What if you were absolutely home already and free, beyond anything you could imagine, and yet still this evolution could just continue? But it wouldn't, whatever happens in your life couldn't possibly make you feel any better than you do already, because you don't need anything from it. You can just enjoy it. And conversely, nothing that happens in your life can make you feel any worse than you do right now, because you're not looking for everything that happens as a way to define yourself. What if the next time you experience a lack of something, it just doesn't mean anything to you? Whether that's a lack of peace, a lack of time, a lack of money, a lack of energy, all of it. And what if the next time you experience a complete abundance and excess of something, it also meant nothing? An excess of peace and bliss and joy, even ecstasy if it arises, doesn't mean anything. It's just what is. And it's not the coldness that our mind thinks it will be. Not at all. I really would just like you to step into this nowness with me and just be here with me, where you just arrive right now here. And there's nothing else that can cause you to think that you've left here, that you've lost this. It's the same for me. Eventually, I just stepped off these meanings. I just stepped out of these meanings. I realized that my egoic sense of self was just a bunch of meanings. This means that I'm not good enough. This means that I'm good enough. This means that I'm enlightened. This means I'm unenlightened. This means I'm not where I thought I should be. This means I'm not doing it right. This means I am doing it right. And even if that's going on in here, there can be this spacious emptiness here where you can't cling to anything. You don't need a life raft. You are the ocean. What if you could no longer form a conclusion about anything, how it relates to you? anything happening out there or in here. But if you lost that ability right now to just put it aside, okay, I'm going to see if I can just not form any conclusions about anything. How would your life change the next time a negative emotion arose? Or the next time some pattern of behavior that you'd rather not be there arose and happened? Next time you ran out of something? The next time you didn't run out of something you used to running out of? Would that be success, or would it just be what is? Even if we're claiming these positive meanings, we're going to have to keep experiencing the other side of that dualistic coin, the opposite meaning. And around it goes again. What if you are already as enlightened as you're ever going to get and be in this moment, now? How would that change everything from here forward? How would that change your discovery of life? How would that change when you go to work tomorrow morning? How would it change how you talk to your children? How would it change how you talk to yourself when you have a negative emotion or something happens that you would have previously used to define yourself? Can you allow this into your heart that nothing means anything? Not in that way. Everything means everything to our egoic sense of self, and it's very good at that, as we were saying before. It's very good at judging. It's very good at not allowing what is. It's the opposite in a way, appearing as the opposite. It's made up of meanings. And what happens when you stop agreeing with those meanings? You burst a hole in that balloon and just watch it deflate. You can even do it now. You can think about, or after we finish this intensive, write down all the meanings that you have. When you run out of something, or when you experience a negative emotion, or when some experience happens, what are the meanings and are they true? Were they ever true? Your separate person, your someoneness. I'm not talking about your body and your mind here. I'm talking about your capacity to suffer as a someone separate to everything is made up of these meanings, these conclusions. Some of them are set in stone. They were like chiseled 1,000 years ago, some stone tablet in our mind, and it's never, ever again examined. You know, because I'm not feeling peaceful all the time, I'm not already the self. Or because I'm feeling great and peaceful all the time, I am the self. What does it feel like in your body and mind when you just drop those completely? What does it feel like when, even if they arise, those meanings, it's suggested to you in that moment, but you just look at them and go, okay. And there doesn't have to be any pushing against the meaning or grabbing a hold of. And it's the most beautiful human experience when nothing means anything. You are totally present in your life, completely. Totally present to yourself, to everyone else, to everything else. Unable to go into division with anything. From time to time, some sense of contraction is going to arise for a while until it doesn't. Does that mean you're not there yet? By contraction, I mean, you know, this some thoughts, some negative emotions, some tightness in the body, some lack of something in your experience, some old echo of what you used to think you were is going to happen, some old karmic pattern. Some very well-grooved record that's been playing for quite some time is going to play. What are you going to do then? Can you look at them ahead of time and go, when this happens, what's it going to mean this time? When that person shows up in my life, what's it going to mean? You know, if I a lot of negative emotion is produced around something. What's that going to mean? Just because it's had the same meaning 100,000 times doesn't mean it has to mean anything this time, next time it happens. One is the Buddha nature, the other is identified as a someone. And you can just step out of it. It's never going to actually change what you are anyway. You've always been this. There is nothing more than this. You cannot not be this. Everything is this. Even the judgmental thoughts are this. Even the meanings are this. Even the rejection or acceptance, pushing against, trying to get. And you are big enough to include it all. Anything that ever happens, ever, is just going to happen. And you're either going to define yourself by it or you're not. And now would be a good time to stop defining yourself. And then you feel exactly like I do. And if you define yourself again next moment, so what? Doesn't mean anything. And when you embrace this for yourself, you'll begin to automatically embrace it for other beings in your life. That not expecting anything of them at all, everything is going to begin to change. What if you walked through just one day, you said you give yourself one day or one hour where nothing means anything? And you will absolutely love it. You won't want to stop. Negative emotion, some real strong emotion arises, and thoughts arise that I shouldn't be feeling this way, and they're just completely allowed, and then they're gone. And wow, it's gone. And some big epiphany, some massive seeing happens, and there's a sense of now I know what the self is. Now I know. Now I've seen it. And it's just completely allowed to happen. And it doesn't end up meaning that you're there, which means you'll have to experience not being there, the other side of that. There is a beautiful simplicity about the awakened state, which is available right here, right now. Hopefully you're grasping that from what we've been saying all day. And you can just step into it now. I just invite you to make a decision now. This is the moment where nothing means anything. This is where I'm going to change my internal stance around everything. Around my internal, external environment. Whatever happens out there or in here doesn't mean anything in that way. And I don't mean if somebody falls down and hurts themselves and you're walking past, oh, that doesn't mean anything. Of course, not like that. But it doesn't mean, it isn't used to define my progress inside. No longer can you say this experience, these thoughts, this person, this, when this is missing from my experience, it means that I'm not there yet. And this can be the moment that you stop suffering forever, right now.